Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp.com/somewhere. That's help, HELP.com/somewhere. Hey, everybody. Today's episode is brought to you by Fume. Start the year off right by going to tryfume.com/somewhere. And you can put our 10% off code in. It's somewhere. Enter it. Go to tryfume.com/somewhere.
Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. Hello, how are you? Do you have tart cherry juice in your teeth like the person across from me right now? I don't know. I can't possibly know when you're listening to this or what you're eating, but across from me, as always, is Cy Russ Tart Cherry Amundsen!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's good to be here. Chad, I am excited. What a morning. I was up until 2 a.m., watching a documentary about a Nickelodeon pedophile, which was a great choice, and now we're recording in the AM. I've really put things in order to have a successful day.
Yeah, that's a bummer I didn't know about this before, because I went with tart cherry and Nickelodeon pedophile would have been way better.
Have you seen the Nickelodeon pedophile documentary?
No, I try to sleep. I try to sleep without bad dreams.
My TV habits, as you are aware, I think we can slide them into the garbage category.
Yeah, you do like trash.
So it's not the tough thing about this is, I think even if I, because when it is 11 a.m. and you're staring down the barrel of a four-part Nickelodeon pedophile documentary. Uh-huh. And you're thinking to yourself, hey, well, everybody's asleep and I'm all alone. What better time to have a fucking worry meltdown, you know,
right,
than yeah. Alone?
I just had a baby not too long ago. Yep. Let me see what kind of filth is out
yes.
in the world.
Yeah, let me ruin a couple of weeks over the course of yeah. a few episodes.
Now, here's the difference between you and I. You and I talked maybe last episode about needing to be better than just one person, right?
Sure.
It's why we have traffic. It's why we have racism, road rage. I said traffic. But so what I like to do, and I'm not bragging here, but what I like to do, and this is what I've noticed the major difference between you and I is I like to get out there and just strive to be my greatest, right? I'm not... It's like golf. I'm not trying to beat my competitors. I'm trying to golf the best I can golf. What you like to do is you like to watch a four-part docuseries and then go, well, at least I'm not fucking kids with slime on their face. So now knowing that background, everybody listening, let's go ahead and listen to the story.
You know, I unapologetically, I'm a maniac. I don't like maniacs, but I'm drawn to stories about, here's right now. I am so deep in the, should I, it's so last night when I'm staring down the barrel of the Nickelodeon pedophile doc, right. And you would think my options would be like, you could watch that or maybe like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and just fade off into dreamland with some ha-has.
With some of the greatest dreams you're ever going to have.
But that's not my choice, because I'm so deep in the YouTube game and so deep in the documentary game at this point. I was looking at my two options were Nickelodeon pedophile, and there's a documentary called The Secret Sex Life of Hitler.
Okay.
And so here's the thing. I started The Sex Life of Hitler. I started that one. And it is the greatest cover art in the history of documentaries. It's Hitler on all fours with his shirt off, with a dog leash around his throat, with like just the legs of a dominatrix standing above him. And if you didn't take a close look, because you know everything's so small, thumbnails, if you didn't yeah. really look in, it looked like Hitler is being buttfucked doggy style. So it's really good. And the only way the art gets better if it's like a picture of a different Hitler, but fucking other Hitler doggy style. And
right.
So yeah. I that's the one I'm going with. I don't start with Nickelodeon Pedophago. It's nighttime. Let's learn about Hitler. And
it's nighttime, and what a, is there a better time to come to death?
So they lost me early in the first episode because they did this thing where they were just basically assuming, they're like, well, because, you know, Hitler had Parkinson's. They just basically made that a part of the first 10 minutes. Like, oh, yes, the commonly agreed upon fact that Adolf Hitler was hiding Parkinson's from. So I think
was he hiding it? Have you ever seen him give a speech? His hair is flopping all over that fucking weird head of his. He is really moving and shaking. He looks like he has ants in his pants. Ants in his pants.
That's actually one of the fetishes that you learn about in The Secret Sex Life of Hitler.
That he loves, he loves ants in his pants.
So there's like a lot of rumors out there about Hitler sexually. Like, he had one nut, and he had a micro penis, and he was into all these fetishes. He was maybe secretly gay. The one thing I do know that is not a rumor, I think like he had four or five girlfriends that all committed suicide, and then obviously a wife that did it. So that's not a great track record.
Wait a sec. I thought he killed his wife and then he committed suicide.
I think it was a suicide pact.
Oh.
And so
I thought he stuck in his micro penis and then they shot each other in the face. Is that not right?
You know what? At this point, I think you just kind of get to say, I think it would be fun to make a Hitler documentary where we just wildly speculate.
So the deal was that he stuck his micro penis in the front and then his one nut in the back. And then they played Russian roulette until both of them were gone.
Actually, this is what I heard happen, and this is confirmed. So because, and this is a real thing, he wanted to portray himself to the people of Nazi Germany that the ruler was tirelessly and only working for the betterment of Germany. Nothing. So he portrayed himself as celibate to the people. And sure. I think it would be really funny if he actually was. And on, like, finally in the bunker, as the Allied forces. Well, it's not funny. This is what happened. Again, we're workshopping the documentary. Here's what we.
Right, and this is confirmed.
So this is confirmed. This is confirmed.
This is confirmed. Yeah, allegedly.
We do not have to say allegedly. This is confirmed. I will take on whatever lawsuits come from this. Great. And so will you. This is confirmed. So as the Allied forces were narrowing in on the bunker and the bunker lost electricity, Eva Braun, and here, what I think would be helpful for the people documentary style is if you, I will narrate and maybe you do the characters, you know, a little bit of a reenactment. So as the bunkers are like, it's shaking and it's getting dark, and as the Allied force,
oh, Hitler, I'm scared.
And as the Allied forces come closer, that voice you just heard, Eva Braun, looks to her betrothed, Hitler, who they just got wed by that guy who's named after a gerbil in another room. He's about to kill his whole family. Mm-hmm. That guy's a bad dude, too. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
So, and this is confirmed, Goebbels, also not just a micro penis, he had an innie. All of his classmates growing it up called it a penis pussy. People don't know this, but all the Nazi leaders had some version of either a tiny or an innie penis. That's confirmed. So.
Yeah, because I saw on a different documentary, it was confirmed where Hitler was like, Goebbels, where the fuck were you? And he's like, oh, you know I have to wipe when I pee. You know this, because my penis is inside my body, so I leak sometimes.
So as the Allied forces are descending or ascending?
They're just coming at
him. So they're coming at him. As the Allied forces are coming at the bunker, it's shaking, it's dark. Hitler has and Eva Braun have finally wed, thanks to Innie Goebbels. And then Eva, desperate to finally make love to her betrothed Führer, looks at him and begs for his sex.
Ooh, Hitler, you know we've been waiting for a very long time. Please, I don't care how small it is. Let me see it and put it in my body.
And then Hitler put it in her and she immediately killed herself. That is confirmed.
You know how I wanted to tell you I wanted it in my body? I no longer do.
And that's so, a lot of the people who've said, oh, it's just like Romeo and Juliet, but Hitler and Eva Braun, where they die together. No, this was basically, Eva Braun was so upset at the size of Hitler's penis, she killed herself. And then Hitler knew people would have questions. They're like, we know you went in there to fuck. We're in a tiny bunker in the 1940s. It's not like there's good soundproofing. What was so bad that she killed herself? And I think even at that point, because Hitler's made so many promises, like, it's the Third Reich, it's going to go for 1,000 years, we're going to rule the world, and now you and Goebbels and, you know, the other Nazis that are, you've all realized that maybe Hitler wasn't right about this. So I don't think you can be like, oh, she just, well, I can't do the voice, but she thought my cock was too big, you know. I don't think...
Did they stop in Italy on the way?
Yeah, I didn't. This is why you're doing the characters.
No, I'm just teasing. But, you know, it's interesting that you say that's confirmed, because I saw...
It is confirmed.
Well, I saw a documentary completely claiming to be confirmed, where it was actually, you know, those you see on like Instagram, all those guys that are like chipping a ping pong ball into a cup that's rotating on a record player, you know, with a golf club, stuff like that. So I heard that Eva Braun and and Hitler were in the bunker, and they both put loaded shotguns up their assholes. And this is also confirmed. So this confirmed. Is why it's so crazy. And then they took a deck of cards, and they were flinging it at each other's trigger. And they actually both hit the triggers at the same time, and the shotgun went off inside them, and their mama had a baby, and their heads popped off.
Is that where the term Third Reich trick shot comes from?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
So that is, because you hear that in pop culture all the time. Somebody goes, oh, Third Reich trick shot.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that that's what it was from.
Right. And then their allies in China, they said, well, hey, man, listen, how did we not get this on film? Let's start TikTok. And so that's the documentary I saw.
How many of those trick shot guys do you think are scam artists? Like, I'm pretty sure those Dude Perfect ones, they like, when they're throwing a basketball from a mile away and bouncing up, I think they like hang a little dude on a zip line in a green suit, like a green screen suit, so you can't see him, and he coasts the ball into the hoop. I think most of the basketball ones, yeah, I think a lot of them are really fake. But
well, here's the difference. I think they're real, and I think the difference here is, I know it's possible because I could do it, and you know that you can't, and so you don't believe that it's possible.
Let me tell you people something else that is an absolutely confirmed piece of information. Chad is 64 years old. He has erectile dysfunction, and his new special is going to be terrible. Don't hurt me in the morning. I did not sleep very well after the multi-episode Nickelodeon pedophile documentary. I'm ready to lash.
First of all, let me take a stab at that. My special's gonna be okay. I get boners like a teenager still, and I'm 65, you son of a bitch.
Your special is gonna be fantastic. I think the fact that you get boners like a teenager is maybe the most concerning thing about you.
It absolutely
and I
is.
Know you're 67 years old. Speaking of someone that you could have graduated with, can I tell you about an old lady I saw at the yes, grocery please. Store?
Yes, please.
So we the boys were down in Ohio for March Madness weekend. All the boys except the oldest
I know.
Boy. Oh, I have to go on the road and work and perform in Kansas City and Omaha, where I swear there are people.
Which, by the way, man, those were fun shows.
I got a lot of people telling me to come to Kansas City. I got a lot of people saying that.
You should. You should also make a stop in Omaha. I would not recommend driving. Can I tell you something before you start this? So Bill Squire and I are working. The very, very funny and talented Bill Squire and I. He's from Cleveland, Ohio. We're working in Kansas City. Now, in Omaha, they have a syndicated radio program that goes off to a bunch of different cities, and they have been...
Is that the Corn Cob Hour? Which one is that?
It's Todd and Tyler. And I'm telling you, if you think about two radio shows that are not on a coast that have helped comedians the most, these guys never ask for anything in return. They're always trying to promote everybody's stuff.
Oh, nice.
When Mixed Reviews came out, they contacted me. Luke, the producer, contacted me and was like, hey, man, we'd like to have you on to talk about this. And I didn't even think about it. So they are
Omaha Bob and Tom.
I mean, yeah, but I don't want to compare them to somebody.
I'm just saying, for the people who, if you're not in that part of the country, in that syndicated, you know.
Yeah, they're just a very killer popular radio.
They're a killer popular radio show that is syndicated outside of their area, a la Bob and Tom.
Right. Yeah. So
they and they say, both happened. It happens to be a name and a name.
Right. And so they ask me, they're like, hey, can you be there Friday morning? And I go, oh man, I can't because I'm going to be in Kansas City. Let me check the flights. Mm-hmm. There was no flight leaving that I could have made after the show. So I said, I can't do it. And then I hung up. I'm like, well, hey, dipshit, why don't you just see how far it is to drive? It's 3 hours. Now,
not bad.
If you ever, and this is an old joke, but if you're ever sick, if you ever have a terminal illness, may I recommend driving from Kansas City to Omaha? Because it's going to turn 3 hours into fucking 12. Magically, you're going to have extra time to live. This was the longest fucking drive. It was after 10 p.m. No food was open. The McDonald's, they leave the golden arches lit up on the side of the highway. So you go, okay, there's some food over there. You drive a mile off of the interstate just to find out that the menus are shut off at the drive-thru. So McDonald's is closed. So you drive around the drive-thru and you go, I wonder if anybody's in there. And you see the manager with his back turned to you doing the finals for the evening. And you think, what if we just broke through this window and fucking beat him up and gagged him and we made all the food? Maybe we should do that. So that happened to us twice. Then it's like 1:30 in the morning. Bill finds a Taco Bell that's open, wants to go there. So he's giving me directions. We're going 65 on a highway. Immediately, it's 35. And we find ourselves on a bridge that we didn't know was there.
Ugh.
We're going over, I think it's the North Platte River, I believe. We start going down the bridge. There's a little building at the edge of the bridge. And we go, well, this couldn't be a toll. There's no fucking, we're in the middle of nowhere. There's a sign that says zombie fallout shelter in the window of this little tiny building. We slowly go by it, and this guy sticks his hand out. It's a fucking toll booth. In the middle, I'm telling you, this guy built this shack, and there hasn't been a government official around to tell him to stop it. He's just taking people's money. It can't be official.
He's a real-life bridge troll?
A real-life bridge. He's a, hey, Billy Goat Gruff, pay your fare.
Yes.
That kind of shit. So I go, hey, man, how much is it? And he goes, it's a dollar. And so Bill's like trying to find some money, gives him a five, and he goes, let me find some change. And I go, there's no fucking way four other people have come over this bridge in the last year. This is a bridge that doesn't need to be here. There's no way this is a route to anywhere. I mean, it was the fucking craziest thing in the world. It was like a bunch of people from Iowa were like, I don't give a fuck. We got to get out of here. And it's so interesting that the guy doesn't take a toll on the way from Nebraska to Iowa, letting you know, like, hey, you can go to Iowa for free, but it's going to cost you a dollar to leave.
To Nebraska? Do you want to kill yourself while driving through 6 hours of corn?
Oh, it was
that
just wild.
That ain't free, baby.
So anyways, it was the weirdest night, like Hotel California, where you're just like, that's probably a ghost person sitting in that thing, and we're not even supposed to be here in a different realm. And plus, you're super tired. So it was
at least you had somebody with you. Can you imagine? Do you remember early in your career when you did the, when you, you know, we all did this, right? But you did the, when I was featuring, and it would be in,
when he was a young warthog,
I'd be in Detroit or Lansing or Toledo or Indiana or something like that. And, but you're featuring, so it's not like you flew there. And you're making, you know, probably $50 more than the features make today. So, you know, comedy's a really fun art form. That also, I can confirm that. That is pretty accurate.
Yeah, it is interesting how they're trying to just get rid of the middle spot, the mm-hmm. middle comedian,
yes.
by paying them less and less and less and less over the years.
And it's I think it's let's not do this. I don't want to get into a TED talk about how it'd be hard to come up as a comedian today. The point is,
be funnier. There's my TED talk.
Be funnier. Do you want to work?
Oh my God.
Do you even want to work?
I can't figure out how to be a comedian. Open a club. Why don't you take everything your family has and put that up on against a club, and then you work your own fucking club, you lazy piece of shit?
Every famous comedian or even low-level headliner brings their own feature to my town, and so now there's not a place for me to improve my art form.
Oh, boo-hoo. My God. Yeah. Boo-hoo-hoo. You know how many jokes?
You and your wife's nest egg to open a comedy club in a small room inside a hotel in which you do not receive the booze money, you only right. receive the ticket money, but you will have to give tickets away, and you'll have a hard time explaining where it's at. But is that hard? Grow the fuck up.
Oh my God. And if you can't do that, does your mouth open? Suck a dick. Let's start working.
Let's start. Here's the thing. As I've said it once, Chad, I will say it twice, and I will say it 10,000 times. People today don't want to work.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, I'm sorry. Do your jokes not really work as well as you want them to? You're kind of good looking, so you need jaw surgery? Suck a dick to get it paid for.
I love where you're going with this. And I
don't even know where I'm going with it.
I have wanted forever to turn this into a let's out loud gossip about every other comedian that we don't like in this industry.
Oh, I was talking about you.
I know, but I think other people would have taken it as something. I didn't get jaw surgery. Hey, everybody. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I know a lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, more time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to figure out how to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is by knowing what's important to you and knowing how to prioritize it while dealing with all the other things you have going on. Therapy is a tool that can help you do that, amongst many other things. Chad and I have talked about therapy often on this show. We are both believers in it. Perhaps you would like to figure out how to prioritize and focus your life. Perhaps you would like to deal with larger things, major trauma, all sorts of issues, learn positive coping skills, how to set boundaries. Therapy is the way to go. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. So learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/somewhere today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/somewhere. You ever tried to break a bad habit and you feel like you're climbing Mount Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, a lot of people have felt that exact same way, but here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up, it's about switching up. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. It's an innovative, award-winning flavored air device. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. I've got some buddies who are trying Fume out. They love the taste. They love the feel. They love the look. Plus, Fume just released a magnetic stand for your Fume, so there's no more losing it around the house. You just plop it on there, use it when you need it, and then you can stick it back on there for those of us who are constantly losing things. Start the year off right, everybody, with the good habit by going to tryfume.com/somewhere. And Fume is giving listeners of this show 10% off when they use the code SOMEWHERE to help make starting out this new good habit that much easier. Check it out, tryfume.com. So I'm at the grocery store.
Okay.
The boys are down for gambling championship weekend.
I know. I was hoping you'd skip this because it makes me feel bad.
The boys
are
in town.
That's why I told that other story.
Chad has to cross a bridge troll you know, to perform in Omaha, which, you know, I'll see you guys soon. Omaha, Todd and Tyler, I'll be there soon. And the funny thing about me thinking I'm going to do shows is forgetting that you're like, oh yeah, you got to book them like 8 months in advance. And that is not a game that old Uncle Si is willing to play. I'm more of a 2 to 3 months out guy. I can't guarantee that I'm going to be able to do your room in 8 months. Yeah, who knows what's going to happen?
I know what's going to happen. You're going to have a 1-year-old and everything's going to be going great. Would you focus? Just keep your eye on the prize.
Quit trying also, to quit trying to overpositive me. Quit trying to secret
me. No, you let me tell you something.
It's my job to secret myself. It's my job to secret myself.
You let me tell you something. Here's what happens in these clubs in the flyover states. You have people from New York and people from Los Angeles that go, you know what? I actually would rather. I know I have 6 sold out shows in Omaha, but I think I would rather go to this basketball game. I just got 15th row tickets for the Lakers when they play the Cavs, so I'd rather go there instead of go do all this stuff. So people cancel on these weeks all the time. Ooh. So you need to...
I just got
to
be on that cancel list, baby.
You need to get on the cancel list, bro. What if that was your tour
That's
name?
That's my... Hey, the cancel
come out
list
see
tour.
Cy Amundsen on the cancel list tour.
See, here's the thing. Are you worried? First of all, Mikey Kurtz is going to love that at Go Bananas because I have canceled on him probably a dozen times. So,
and you live 12 minutes away. Just imagine what it's like for people that have to get on an airplane.
So I'm worried about that people will be like, hey, we came here to hear some stuff from a guy who said he was on the cancel list. And he didn't say, all he's talking about is this fucking disease. We thought he was going to say some cool shit. So I'm at the grocery store. You decided you would rather work then come spend time
right
in a fun friend environment. What are you, Mike Cronin at my wedding, right? And ooh, so shots fired, yeah, you motherfucker.
I
Mike
about that.
Shots fired.
I
so we go to the grocery store, Ethan and I do.
Okay,
he's gonna pick up a coffee for himself and a coffee for Jenna. There's a Starbucks in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. So I drop little baby off at the Starbucks, and then I'm going to cruise around. I'm going to go get me the things that I need. So I'm now walking around. I am now behind the barista stand. And also, so Ethan is third in line. First in line is a young boy, probably 13. The sort of kid you wouldn't want on a set of a Nickelodeon show, that age.
Oh, yeah, because you get touched.
So... And then behind him, you have a woman about your age. I would guess 60s, early 60s.
67 to 70.
Yeah, okay. Somewhere in that range. But interesting looking gal because anytime you see, she has long hair past her shoulders, middle of her back. And no comment on that being good or bad. It's just you don't see it very often. You don't see
older women with long hair. That's true.
So that's immediately you're paying attention. Now she has a...
Was there a horse outside tied up?
There was no horse outside.
Interesting. Okay.
But she is in a matching velour sweatsuit that's got a hoodie top. She is wearing matching slippers, sandals, like flip-flops. And she is carrying a tiny dog with a matching hooded sweatshirt.
Hold on. And you're sure this was not me?
I mean, that's when you see someone like that, you don't just keep moving. It draws you.
Right.
So I turn over.
You take notes.
And there's the don't let him on Nickelodeon show age kid, the matchy dog lady. And Ethan's behind him. And there's like this commotion going on. And I kind of stop and tune in. And this is very nice of her. But she is trying to pay for the young man's drink.
Oh, does she work for Nickelodeon? We are going to figure this out eventually, where this lady's from. Because anybody who's that old and dresses like that, you go, oh, this is a Hollywood executive type.
So,
yeah. Just hanging on.
That is a place that you see a lot of 60-year-old long hair.
And you see a lot of 60-year-old long hair, and you see a lot of matching velour sweatsuits with little dogs. Did the little dog have sunglasses?
He didn't, but he had the same color sweatshirt as the woman.
That's what I'm fucking saying. I bet she did. I bet she was like, she's grooming this kid. She's okay. Like,
hey, at the mall, we're having tryouts for Planning Peter. It's our new big hit show on Nickelodeon Plus. So
yeah, just come on out to this van. I'll give you a ride to the mall. Just come out to the van.
She is.
That doesn't have anything on it.
She is. And I think this is a nice thing. She's like, I'd like to pay for your drink. That's what she's doing. But she, okay. And I think she has good intentions because, you know, she's already got the dog in her arms. It's going to be really hard to steal this kid. Unless it's like bait. You don't see a lot of woman pedophiles. I think they're out there. You know, you got the ones that fuck the students. Right. I think they're out there, but I think on a lower percentage, for sure.
Are the ones that fuck the students pedophiles?
For sure.
Or are they bad at checking IDs?
I don't think we should get into this, but this is something that I have an angered passion about. Yeah.
Oh, you do? Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think it sucks.
You're angry that they're doing it. I'm angry I didn't get picked.
I think...
So that's where we are.
I think what I'm angry about is that... I'm not angry because it's like... unfair to the men pedophiles. This isn't a pro men pedophile stance. This is a like, yo, what the fuck?
Anti all pedophiles.
Yeah, I like to be consistent with my takes on pedophiles. And if a 24-year-old woman is fucking a 14-year-old student, and
14 is gross. I'm talking 17.
I still think that is so fucked.
I know you do. You want to be consistent, and I wanted to be considered. I wanted them to say, I wanted, let's say this, there's a teacher thing. They go out to the bar, right? You're cruising around. All of a sudden, you see them at the gas station. They're like, oh, Chad, what are you doing out at this hour? I thought you'd be home doing homework. It's like, no, I'm just out. Just out talking to older men, figuring out how to do stuff with my body. And they're like, oh, goddamn. Well, maybe you should come show me.
I appreciate your fantasy. I think it's really great. And I want to support it because I'm not here to sex shame you. But I do want to tell you, I don't think that's how these relationships evolve.
Well, I just thought it would be neat because, you know, it was really disappointing because I would lay in bed in high school and think there's not one teacher in my school that wants to get fucked for 3 seconds max.
Who are these? Maybe because we grew up where we grew up in small towns.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? I can't think of a single I can't even think of a teacher under the age of 60 that I had all the way into high school.
I know. I bet you there are people that I went to high school with listening to this. Like, who did you want to fuck? There's no one.
The most handsome.
They're like going through
the
their annuals.
The most handsome person is like the 58-year-old gym teacher because he still jogs. Like, did you want to fuck Mr. Bluth? Because
we had one guy named Raymond Filippo who had to come in. And he had to take over because a teacher died. So he's like right out of college. Mm. And he was...
Hot name, by the way. None, hot name.
I know, Raymond Filippo. But he was the coolest dude. And he got instant respect because he was so young. Not a creepo, just a good teacher. Because he wrote college prep writing. And it was... God damn, you walk in and you go, oh, I don't even want to make fun of this guy. I want to be friends with him. He's almost our age.
I think, yeah, that's a dangerous line. That's how you wind up in Todd Lofstrom's, pickup truck getting a ride home. And then a year later, you're like, thank God Tyler Neenkirk was with me, or we might have been in Molesto Town because they just arrested that guy. I substitute taught right out of college. And
you did? How do I not know that?
Yeah, I substitute taught for a while at like Delano High School.
What in the world?
And I was not good at it.
Of course, that's why I want to see it.
That's why I find it so appalling. I mean, other than the fact that it's disgusting, but it's like you can very quickly when you're 22 and like people are set, it's not that big of an age gap. I started coaching right. basketball in Orono when I was 19. And somebody who became my best friend in the whole world, Luke Miller, he was a junior in high school. So, and there are a couple of people in that community. One of his good friends became another one of my best friends in the world. So, like, I understand that small gap, but
how many fucking best friends do you have? I'm sick of this.
I said one. Listen to me. You trigger so easy. I'm sick sorry of this shit. He left, but it was years ago. And I, not, you
has
know,
nothing to do with it.
You know where you're ranked. You're 1B.
Okay, you're let's 1B. Go.
You and 1B is a really good place to be. But I, you know, so I like, I got to be really close with someone who was a high school junior, a couple people, but I was never like, yeah. And I just think it's silly when boys take their pants off. Like I wasn't, you know, yeah,
I know. Oh, I know that you don't have that in you. It's not like, it's not like there's just a normal guy walking around with a normal childhood that spent all his time on the main level and not chained to a radiator in the basement.
Or a normal like, woman. Like, think of the fucked, like, I just think it's funny that we, because of the way sex is portrayed, where like the man is the guy that goes out and pursues the sex and the woman is the one that gives right. it up. When it comes to like lady pedophiles, we're all like, well, man, that 17-year-old fucking nabbed her. That 17-year-old with all that game and all those zits somehow wooed somebody who'd been around right. adult men, and she was like, I'm going to spread this out. He got me. I think it's the other way around. I'm going to tell you, I think my inclination is to guess that it is the other way around.
Yeah, I think there's like a conquering factor, right? If you're 17 and you hump a teacher... That's immediately you're going to your buddies going, you're not going to believe this shit. Yeah. But if you're a girl, there's no like, you don't call, hey, everybody, let's go. We're meeting in FaceTime right now. I have to tell you something. Do you remember Mr. Rajden? Well, I know he's 60, right? But salt and pepper, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Could he be my dad's boss? For sure. And that's what made me horny. I mean, it's not like that, for sure.
God, I was talking to someone recently who told me when they were 21. So they obviously, I probably shouldn't tell this.
Yeah, you have to. You can't start it.
Here's the thing. We will.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lloyd. You can't triple stamp a double stamp.
I'm not going to say any names, and I will after the show. I will find out if they're cool with me telling the story not named, and then Justin can leave it in. That'll be our rule. That'll be our safeguard.
Speaking of Justin leaving it in,
Nickelodeon, we will put safeguards around our show.
Okay, let's see what happens.
What were you going to say about Justin leaving it in? Do you think he's?
I just think he's nonstop.
Do you think
this
he's fucking too much?
This guy's the mayor.
Do you
Hump
think
City.
That's the? Do you think that's what's happened with well, our he's, podcast?
Well,
you and I are given everything we have, and here's Justin.
That's what I'm saying.
Just out having a hump saying. Springer, and just crushing himself around, you know, around his house, yeah. And here
he has to edit with one hand because he's busy fondling boobs with the other one. Bro, I know you got one lady. I know you're not out there on the town spreading your seed.
Just space
but
it
still,
out. Space it out.
You're just humping one person too much.
Space
Help
it
us out.
Out.
Help us grow this show,
it
dude.
Out. So
sick of it.
Yeah, I had a friend who.
So Ryan was doing something.
No, this is a different friend. This is a
know,
female friend. Didn't get along great with her dad.
Erica, Susan, Emily.
And so she, when she turned, I think, 21, she said that she fucked her dad's best friend.
Oh, yes. Can I tell you something? I hope she's okay with this because I would like to leave this in. Didn't get along with her dad, fucked her dad's best friend. Okay. I'm listening. Can I tell
you
something?
That's the end of the story. I think it's...
I know that
she,
I've been...
To this day,
I know
she celebrates it. Like, as I show you the impressive medals I've... And badges I've achieved over the years. Let me take you...
Well, now she knows she's an Olympian. Great. Way to go, dude.
Let me take you to my closet and pull out my most cherished badge, the fucked my dad's best friend badge, because I didn't think he was a good dad.
It's not really a badge. It's more of a jizz stain on my sweater.
Yikes.
Can I tell you something? So I've been pro all of this, and I've been just like having fun with it and goofing around. When you said that sentence, I almost barfed.
Oh, is this the part? Is this really the part where you go, as the father of a girl?
No, no.
Is there anybody worse?
I'm just telling you.
Is there any worse, like, as now a parent, as now that I've joined the parent community, and oh, by the way, 8 months in, no diapers in public parking lots. Suck my ass, everybody, in my comments.
I know, by the way, you can't say you're 8 months in, right? So there's also a pregnancy. So you're really like 17 and a half months in. Please don't say now that I've joined it. Just because you took 10 years to tell everybody doesn't mean you're a brand new parent.
Now that I've joined the parenting community. But I think the most unfun people to talk to are the, just as the dad of a little girl. As the dad of a little girl, when I watched that Nickelodeon documentary,
it's like, you know why those people are deplorable to me? Because it's like, you didn't have that thought before you had a little girl. You thought fucking kids was fine until you had a little girl.
Or just like, you weren't like, now it's time for me to speak up. Now that I've joined the ranks of men who own tiny women, now I will enter the conversation.
Right.
So I'm in the Kroger, and this woman is trying to buy.
Oh, wait a second. Have you not finished this story?
This woman is trying to buy this young Nickelodeon-aged boy's coffee.
Yeah.
But, and I think she is well meant. We've talked a lot of predatorial stuff on today's podcast. This has been a sex-heavy episode, which is, by the way,
That's my rapper name, just so you know.
Sex-heavy episode. Thank you for doing that, because the one I was going to do was going to make my tour for sure named the cancel list.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So I think she was well-intentioned. I think she was just trying to do that thing where you'd, hey, I'll buy for you. He's an awkward little preteen teen boy, and she's an awkward Chad-aged woman with long hair. She just doesn't have any tact. Like, I think if you're in that situation, you lean over to the barista and go, "Hey, why don't you put his on me? I'm gonna buy for the line. I just wanted to do something nice for everybody." And then I think that's okay. But she kind of leans over the kid and she goes, "I'm gonna buy your drink." And the kid is like, oh, no, because his parents have probably taught him about strangers, you know?
Yeah, what do I owe you in return? Yeah.
And so then she's like, no, I want to buy your drink. And it's getting intense. There's no smiles happening. It's kind of like a forced drink buy. And he's like, and he's like panning around for where his parent is maybe at. And then it goes back and forth like 3 or 4 times. And she's like really intense, like, I want to do something nice. Let me buy your drink. And finally he gives in and then goes as far away as he can. And then she kind of pulls up and steps up, and Ethan's right behind her, and she kind of orders her drink. And she was doing the thing that people do, I think, in the drive-thru. Like, I'll buy the person in front of me. Yes. She was trying to start one of those pay it forward chains, but in real life. And
but also in reverse. You don't pay for the person in front of you, you pay for the person behind you.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think she was good at it. I think that's what she was doing, because she kind of laid her drink order out and then sat on it for a second, and Ethan, just stone-faced behind her, has watched all of this go down, is in the middle of texting my wife a play-by-play of what's happening. And the look on his face is like, I'm not gonna buy you and your dog a coffee because you weirded out this little boy.
Right. I'm not gonna buy you and your office all of your drinks and get your stupid dog a pup cup.
It was really good. I don't like I said, I think she's a very nice lady. I don't think there's anything, but it was some premier awkward theater.
I would have really loved to have been there. Not only because I would have loved to gamble with you guys, but because watching this would have really made my week, I think. Although I did see a troll on a bridge, which is...
You know what else would have made your week? If you'd commit to our friendship and spend a weekend down here playing games. I know you just said you wish you would have, but what if I, at the end, when you emotionally say, like, I did miss you guys and I wish I would have, what if I don't accept that and I just hammer it down, like, in, like, sure, a not nice way?
Hammer it down to where? All the way down to 1B, you son of a bitch? So I have to tell you something. So last episode, we talked about Isaac calling me father.
Oh, yes. Do we have a father update?
We have a father update. So I called him. I texted him and I go, hey, when you are emotionally recharged after this thing, let me know. And he's like, call me whenever. I'm fine. I'm like, okay. So I give him a call and
Wait, hold on. Yeah. How many minutes after our podcast did you send that message?
It was several days.
Okay. Well, good for you.
Yeah. No. I was waiting.
Okay.
I was waiting. Because I've been practicing not
responding immediately.
Well, yeah. Just and letting people have their space and not making it a big important thing until I talk about it. So then I call him and I say, so at the wedding, I go, you know that I refer to my dad as father, right? And I've told you the reasoning and like all this stuff. And at the wedding, you turned around when we were in line and you go, that's my mom, that's my father. And I go, I was just wondering if there's anything to that that you and I need to discuss and work through. And he said, I mean, you're my father. And I go, no, I understand that. But just the naming of it. And he goes, I don't know, father sounds like more distinguished. And we were at the wedding. And I go, why don't you call your mom mother? And he goes, well, because then that seems like you have a weird mom thing.
That's a great point.
It is a super good point. So this kid is firing on all cylinders. And I go, okay, well, I was just wondering because, you know, father, I didn't know if you thought I had lost the dad thing, if I wasn't whatever. And he goes, wow, you're really in your head. Dude, I have been avoiding this situation forever. And that situation is this: when your child has to parent you. This is the first time this has happened with either of my kids, where my kid has to be the parent, and I fucking hate it because I don't like when I see it out in the wild. I don't like when I see it wherever. And he just goes, yeah, you're really in your head about this. He goes, it didn't mean anything. I was just, you know, I was about to get married and I thought father sounded distinguished. I think mother seems a little like, hey, maybe Oedipus Rexy. And so I just said, this is my mom and this is my father. And I go, so there's nothing to it. And he goes, whoa, dude, you got to cool it. And I'm like, okay. Anyways, great to talk to you. And he goes, was this seriously the call? And I go, yeah. And he goes, oh, I thought this was going to be like an intense question the way, and I go, well, I thought maybe the answer could be intense. We're going to have a long conversation. He goes, no. And then I go, okay, well, I love you. See ya. And he goes, I love you too, father. And then hung up.
So I love that you have, Isaac is how old?
He's 24.
I love that you have spent 24 years parenting with your largest fear being that your children will at some point have to parent you. And it took a full 24 years, and Sunday is already making my shakes and raking the lawn.
Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.